ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من يطيع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصلاة عماد الدين، فمن أقامها أقام الدين، فمن تركها فقد هدم الدين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My respected ulama ikram, brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the best way of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, blessed us, the chief of Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. South Africa at the moment, we are experiencing on a spiritual front various problems. And one of them is under disguise or openly, people generally tend to discuss the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Hadith Nabawi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this can be divided into three categories. One is that person who openly rejects it. And that has been prophesied by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that beware, there will come a time where people will lean and recline on their couches and say that the Quran is sufficient for us. Those people are definitely witless and are misleading. Secondly, are those who are ignorant and do not understand the science of Ahadith, the terminology of Ahadith, the discussions and deliberations on Ahadith, and therefore they indirectly try to reject Hadith. And thirdly are the modernists and those who think they understand, who think they possess the beliefs, etc., in Islam, and professionally they reject Hadith. It is our duty that we make research, contact the ulama, seek true knowledge, and save ourselves from the fitnah of Inkar al-Hadith, from the trial and tribulation of those who reject the Ahadith. But today I want to inform you and talk to you about the beauty of Islam and how Islam concept and ideology is able to survive, not like the other things, not like the other religions. And if we also maintain the true, precise, divine teachings of Islam, we'll also survive. There are two things. One is ibadat and one is ita'at. Ibadat, worship. Itaat, to follow Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to adhere to his commandments, to behave how he behaves, to do like how he did. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he refused to prostrate with Isra to the ruler of that time, Nimrod. Nimrod called him up and told him that, why do you not prostrate before me? Because it was the order of the day that everyone was prostrate before the king, make sijda before the king. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam openly stated that sijda is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ibadat is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he is the Rabb, he is our creator, he is our nourisher, he is our provider, he does what he wants. And Nimrod decided to debate with Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and said that, what your Rabb does, describe this to me. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam gave a very simple example and said that, my Rabb, he gives life and takes life. Why? Because the giver of life is Allah, the taker of life is Allah. So Nimrod, with his stupid intelligence, and crooked system of rationality and logic. A person was decided to die in the jail, freed him, and an innocent man walking on the road was killed. And then he said, Ibrahim alayhi salam, you see, I also do. A person who was going to die, you are sentenced to death, I executed him, I killed him, I give death. And a person, I give life. And a person who was walking freely, not supposed to die, I have apprehended him and killed him. I give him. So Ibrahim alayhi salam realized that I'm talking to a super stupid fellow. And he gave him another example. I told him that my Rabb takes out the sun from the east and makes it set in the west. You take it out from the west and make it set in the east. So you rose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبُهِدَ اللَّذِي وَكَفَى. Then he became flabbergasted and he died. That argument of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam stupefied him. He could not say anything else. Why the discussion of ibadat and ita'at? The kings of old wanted the people to make their ibadat and also follow them. The Jews blatantly erred and they say Uzair is the law. They gave the quality of divinity to Uzair. The Christians erred and said Isa is the law. Then Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The special quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divinity, they began to deny and make gods and goddesses. And that person who makes any saint or any Nabi or any pious person or any righteous person, he gives him quality of divinity and he raises that person's status to the status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is also misled. He is also not on the correct path. That means he is trying to say that we must worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and at the same time worship someone else. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teaching and ta'aleem has separated these two things so that we Muslims do not follow and do not fall prey to the error of the old. And the error of the old was that the confusion and the uniting of ibadat and ita'at in one person, in one human being. Amongst the mu'jizat of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a camel came in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and prostrated. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu majmu'in, who was seated around there, said, Ya Rasulullah, the animals even prostrate before you, why do we not prostrate before you? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped them. Did not even allow them to do that. Why? Because ibadat is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sizda is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ruku is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worship is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ibadah, whole concept is only, solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no human being. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anumajwain, they came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after an expedition. Presented themselves before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and stated that Ya Rasulullah, we have been far and wide. We have been to various courts, the courts of the king. And we have seen their subjects prostrate before their rulers. We have seen their subjects prostrate before their governors. We have seen the juniors prostrate before their seniors. And those seniors are definitely not superior to you. Those kings are definitely not superior to you. You are the best of creation. You are the best of Anbiya alayhi salam. Ya Rasulullah, can we not prostrate before you? Should we not make your sujda? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that if prostration, sujda was dying for a human being, then I should have made the woman go, the wife prostrate before the husband. That is what I, wives were not prostrate before their husbands. And if this error, the husband should not ill-treat their wives. The husband, the male should not ill-treat their wives. Women folk are precious. Women folk are the delicate people. Women folk are those that should be treated well, should be cared for, and should be kept in the house, should be protected, and not taken out in the sports field at this place. Not taken out in the galas at this place. But not taken out in the bazaars at this place. You don't take a precious commodity and take it out in the bazaar at this place. Do you? You take your plunger and take it out in the bazaar at this place. The textman will take it. Your important commodity, your precious commodity, your valuable commodity, your commodity that you love the best, your woman folk, your wife, our wives, we don't take them out and make the whole world look at them. Make them walk around naked. Display them. Take them to this gala and that sports field and make them waste their time on this area and that area. You set the elders. And then you come back home and you want everything done. And on top of that, the husband and the male folk want to suppress the woman folk, want to beat them up. And the man, he wants to look at everything. Every second woman that passes, he looks at. And takes his own wife to be looked at. And then he says, my wife, my house problem, there's problems in the house. What the problem? So the pots and pans, they have developed UFO stages. They fly in the air. Sometimes on my head and sometimes on the other. You cause the problem with respect to the elders. So treat the wife, treat them well. Well, Rumi has written one story. He says that one person was walking on the street and he saw a girl. And he liked her. When he liked her, he expressed that I like you. So she said that, you know, my sister who is younger than me and more beautiful than me, she's coming from the top side of the road. She's coming from the up. She's more beautiful than me and she's younger than me. If you like my beauty, then what about her? So immediately the person, he turned around and started looking. Because one thing that is glitterous and glamorous, and when there is something better, then immediately he turns to look. So he gave one. He says that you fell in love with my beauty, and when I express another beauty, you start looking at it immediately. Especially elders, this is our position. Nevertheless, deen of Islam has separated this thing. Ibadat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibad, obey for Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obey, ibad is for Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But ibadat is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we say clearly and categorically, without thinking of the word, that sijda is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ruku is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Standing in respect and in ibadat is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadat is wholly solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hajj is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Charity is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umrah is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our worship is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our dhikr and qiyas, our sacrifice is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that we do is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not prostrate before the graves. We do not prostrate before the pictures. We do not prostrate before the idols. We do not prostrate before the photographs. We do not prostrate before the statues. We are for wahid. We are the ones who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? He is our creator. He is our Rabb. We are not grave worshippers. We are not saint worshippers. We are not fear worshippers. Yes. We believe in saints. We believe in fear. We say that. Karamatul awliya haqqul. That the miracles of the saints are truth. That Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, why there has miracles to play. We believe in that. That is part of our iman. But we do not worship the saints. We do not worship the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. We do not worship or make sijda to any grave of any saint or any Nabi. And a person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divinity is a brave person. He's not a shy person. He says his belief and he stands with his belief. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator, our nourisher, our Rabb, our provider. He and he alone. Not that if you take a sheet of cloth and put it down and grace says, then your rosary will increase. Or you have a very big festival in your house, then your rosary will increase. Or if you do not sacrifice a gold on the name of certain saints, then your rosary will increase. That is shirk. And that is un-Islamic thing. That is thing that is ruining us. And remember, the most important thing of a Muslim is his belief. Islam is so beautiful, so easy, so practical. And we have survived the onslaught of the West. We have survived the onslaught of the Orientalists. Respected elders, we Muslims must wake up. Because the whole kuffar world is against us. This concept of new world order has been designed against us. To ruin us, to separate us, to disunite us, to crush us, to annihilate the Muslims. And yet the Muslim hasn't even got his belief in order. The belief of Islam is his foundation. And the deeper the foundation, the better the building. The deeper the foundation, the stronger the building. Our belief is strong in the unity of Allah. That ibadah is only for Allah. Follow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is barakah, there is khair. And it is obligatory to follow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is wajib, compulsory at least, to follow Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the more we follow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the closer we get to the sunnah. Irrespective whether the people brand us as fundamentalists, or lopsiders, or old-fashioned, whatever it is. It's better to be branded in this world than be branded in the grave and the after. Closer a person goes to sunnah, more barakah comes in his life, and he pleases Allah, Allah brings good position. How much we have to follow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was giving a speech, a khutbah on the occasion of Eid. A person got up and started making salah. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, then do not make salah. Do not make salah. The person said, Ya Ali, then I'm making salah. And salah is a good action. Salah is a good action. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I also know that salat is a good action. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not make salat before Eid. So your salat is an action of vain and futility. And that action which is vain and futile brings the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine how close we have to get to the sunnah? One sahabi, he saw his relative throwing pebbles, either with his hand or maybe with a caterpillar. So he admonished him and said, that do not throw pebbles. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that pebbles do not injure the prey, and pebbles do not wound the enemy, but pebbles can break your teeth and burst your eyes. After some time, he saw his relative playing with the pebbles and throwing it again. So he told his relative that I swear by Allah I will not throw. Here I am quoting the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and explaining to you that he has said do not throw pebbles, and you still insist and persist on throwing pebbles. I will not. And today Muslims, his relatives, un-Islamic, haram festivals he will go to. Whether it's music, whether it's unity, whether it's intermingling of sexes, whether it's completely un-Islamic activity going on, he will make it a point and go there. And when you inquire from him that you're supposed to be adhering to the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are you doing? He said, no, I have to go, otherwise my nose will get cut. What about the Sunnah getting butchered? What about the Sunnah getting slaughtered? What about your deen? So he decides. Men must take a stand. Men are the rulers. Men are the captain of the ship. Men must decide that we are going to practice upon Islam. We are going to adhere to the commandments of Allah Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we are going to make our ibadat wholly and solely for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And in our homes, daily, we are going to bring sunnah activity into our homes. A Muslim, and he does not worry that I must bring sunnah into my home. What kind of a Muslim is he? And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is blessing us around the corner with Ramadan. And in Ramadan, a person should make his effort that I will make Quran tilawat. I'm going to fill the masjid. I'm going to adhere to the sunnah. I'm going to bring the sunnah into my house so that any person coming into my house will say that this is the house of a Muslim. Today, unfortunately, you walk into a house, you do not know where you're going. And let the white man come into the house on a festival occasion, you are to serve him with red wine, and still at the end of the day, you are to say, good Muslim. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to understand this.